As U.S. troops withdraw from Afghanistan, questions remain. Should the Americans have even been there in the first place? And what's next for foreign policy? We're here to examine this with Dr. Ron Paul, former congressman and host of the Liberty Report. Dr. Paul, always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you doing?
David, I'm doing fine, and thanks for having me on.
It's always an honor. Dr. Paul, you had been long a critic, longtime critic of the war in Afghanistan. In fact, 10 years ago, in March 2011, you had testified to Congress and urged Congress to withdraw troops. Let's listen to this clip.
The question we're facing today is, should we leave Afghanistan? I think the answer is very clear, and it's not complicated. And of course, we should, as soon as we can. This suggests that we can leave by the end of the year. If we don't, we'll be there for another decade, would be my prediction.
Okay, whether or not this is a coincidence, you were right on with that prediction. That statement was made to the floor of Congress in March 2011, exactly 10 years ago. And of course, 10 years later, we are just withdrawing. So, first of all, you made that statement 10 years after the launch of the invasion of Afghanistan. Why did you say at that time that troops should withdraw? What was your rationale for making that statement?
Well, we shouldn't have gone in. We went in there under false pretense, although the president gained some authority to deal with the people who perpetuated 9/11. If I go back and look at that, I do not believe the word Afghanistan was mentioned in that authority to use military force. It was to deal with people who participated. And of course, the argument was, well, we think somebody passed through there and might have participated. But at that time, it was the Taliban that was in Afghanistan that we had to be concerned about. And the Taliban had nothing to do with 9/11. It was Al-Qaeda. And although bin Laden was in those regions and in that area, I think that it was a serious mistake to go, they had the authority to go, and if they said bin Laden was involved, yes, deal with it. But the amazing thing what happened is we went in there and more or less took over the country rather rapidly and also cornered bin Laden. At the same time, there was a battle at Tora Bora, and all of a sudden, bin Laden slipped through United States fingers, and within a short period of time, he got into Pakistan. And over all those years, I didn't know for sure, but it was my suspicion. I said, I think you've just used this as an excuse to go into Afghanistan. He's probably over in Pakistan right now. That's where you should be. But I think a lot of what happened after 9/11 provided an opportunity for some of the authoritarians and the neoconservatives to accelerate their presence around the world. Because one of the first things that was done was the Patriot Act was passed. And they didn't write it. It had been written. It was sitting on a shelf. And within days, they were passing the Patriot Act, which was a horrible, horrible bill. And then at the same time, but just days later, this authority used military force against the perpetrators of 9/11, it was passed. But most people thought, well, it sounds to me like there might be a more question of Iraq. And all of a sudden, no, we're going to Afghanistan.
Right.
And but I think it's all part of the way we as a country have dealt with our foreign policy, because, of course, from my viewpoint, we're overly aggressive, we're involved too much, and we do have an empire that we defend. And it was nothing new to think that we should be involved, because we participated as an ally of bin Laden to get the Russians out of Afghanistan.
Right.
So the bigger picture for me is intervention versus non-intervention, and that takes a whole day to discuss.
Well, you had just said that the Taliban were not directly responsible for 9/11, but President Joe Biden earlier in the week made an address to the nation, and he said that one of the primary objectives for entering Afghanistan was to fight terrorism. So that seems to be a contradiction there. Take a listen to this clip and we'll comment on it.
We went to Afghanistan almost 20 years ago with clear goals. Get those who attacked us on September 11, 2001. And make sure Al-Qaeda could not use Afghanistan as a base from which to attack us again. We did that. We severely degraded Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We never gave up the hunt for Osama bin Laden, and we got him. That was a decade ago. Our mission in Afghanistan was never supposed to have been nation building. It was never supposed to be creating a unified, centralized democracy.
Okay, so he's saying a few things here. First of all, he's justifying his withdrawal of Afghanistan by saying that his objectives were already met. And second, he's saying that he was there to fight, well, the Americans were there to fight al-Qaeda and counterterrorism. Is he right, Dr. Paul?
Well, the policy was used as an excuse to go in and for what they wanted to do. Now, yes, he said a lot of things correctly there, but I think it was not a lot different than that, than just going after, al-Qaeda, because al-Qaeda wasn't there and they weren't even in Iraq. But it was just the excuse to go in there. Now, if Biden had thought about that, he had 20 years to deal with it. He was in the Senate. You have to go back and see what he said 10 years ago or 20 years ago and find out what he thought about it, because, there was a consensus, strong right and left, Republican and Democrat consensus, that we had to do something. And believe me, the pressure was very, very strong that you had to do something. So, and you didn't want an emergency like this go to waste. So they were doing the things that they already had plans for. Like I said, the Patriot Act was ready to go and it passed like that. And then also going in and expanding our role in Afghanistan was something that was sought after. There were pipelines going through there. It's a good story that is the thing that you would sell the program with. But believe me, they had to do some selling, because the American people back at that time, with the expansion of the war, the American people basically disagreed with it. So there was a lot of propaganda to scare people. It was all al-Qaeda. It wasn't the Taliban. Even now, the Taliban is a different type of organization. They have the benefit of defending the homeland. And believe me, that gives you tremendous benefit. So, and they were going to prevent a systematic flow of al-Qaeda. I just don't believe that was it, but it was good politics. It was good politics, and that's how they got that passed. And his speech wasn't, all wrong. It was just the justification. So when I start from a position of non-intervention, it's a long way from just staying out of trouble so that we don't have to deal now with, after 20 years of this problem, dealing with tens of thousands of people, and that's going to go on for a long time. The consequences last for a long period of time, and believe me, we are not going to lose an interest in Afghanistan. We're not going to just close the door and walk away. We had to send a lot of troops in there already, try to save the other troops. We're always compensating. Hopefully, though, and we think we're making progress, and we think that our country's learning a lesson, but we're going to keep working at the Liberty Report to try to get the information out that we need a lot less intervention, and then we wouldn't have these consequences, not lasting for 5 or 10 years, for 20 years. And everybody said, we shouldn't be there now. For 10 years, I said, we shouldn't be there. So Biden's statement there about it's time to leave, and the original intent was a little questionable. So, but politicians, are pretty good at justifying everything they do.
Okay. Before we talk about the future, I want to ask you about what happened right after 9/11. You were in Congress when 9/11 happened, and of course, you were right. There was a strong consensus from both parties to do something in the Middle East, and of course, that something turned out to be the invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, when you were there, you've always held a policy of non-intervention. How did you argue your point across to your opponents who wanted to go to war in Afghanistan? What was the dialogue like right after 9/11?
It was not authorized. There was no moral basis for it. There was no constitutional basis for it, because then when they were talking about voting for the authority to use military force, I was on the committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and everybody was for giving the authority. But it was just to let the president do what he thinks is necessary to make us safe and secure and that sort of thing. It was a blanket statement. And I strongly objected to that. So I said, look, I disagree with you, but I'm introducing this resolution that says you're going to declare war against Afghanistan. You're going to go in there and fight a war. And of course, I said, I'm not voting for it, but I want you to vote for it because that's what you're wanting for and that's what you're moving toward. And they were hysterical over that. They were just furious that they had to vote on it. And of course, everybody voted against it. But they would never consider declaring war. We haven't done that since World War II. And we just go, we give license to our presidents. The Congress goes along. It's a bipartisan effort. Republicans and Democrats, they fight a lot among themselves over some issues. But when it comes to our presence around the world, believe me, the military-industrial complex is very much in charge. And they get their way. Nobody ever cuts a penny out of that budget. And believe me, we right now spend three times as much as the Chinese spend on their militarism. And do we really need it to spend? How much did we spend? Was it $2 trillion in Afghanistan and that whole area? $6 trillion. My goodness. You know what? Someday it's going to lead to our bankruptcy. Of course, that's what I think we already are there.
Critics now are saying that the Taliban has taken over most parts of Afghanistan. So the entire 20-year war was done in futility. We went there to fight the Taliban, and now they're back. How would you respond to that criticism?
It proves my point. It makes my whole point about non-intervention. It's crazy. And even if you look at the long-term history of Afghanistan, and here we were involved when the Russians were there, the Soviets were there, we participated. And we played games there. We'd been involved. And to have this, somebody said, boy, you were really astute. You made this prediction that this is going to last a long time. No, it's plain common sense. That's what you expect. It was sort of like the Vietnam thing. I lived through the 1960s. I got drafted in 1962, and I was in the military for 5 years. And what a disaster that was. And I just have grown to the point where I cannot justify this militarism financially, morally, or constitutionally. Just doesn't make any sense. And this is just a perfect example of, they say, well, it's bad policy. He didn't do it right. Republicans are really critical of Biden because he should have done it this way versus that way. Well, it shouldn't even have to happen. But if he had to do it, yes, you could have done a lot better than what he did. But Biden didn't create the problem other than the fact that he was negligent for 20 years. He didn't give any speeches on the Senate floor saying, this is bad trouble. This is a lot of trouble. We shouldn't be doing this because we could be there for a long time. I might have to become president in 20 years to finally end this war. We didn't hear of that, any of that.
Okay. Well, did the objectives change at all during the war from 20 years ago to last week? Did at any point did Congress, I know you left Congress in 2013, but while you were still there for the 12-year period, was there any talk amongst congressmen or senators that the focus of being in the Middle East should be shifting?
Oh, yeah. But the problem is you can't know who's telling the truth because it's always a very patriotic, good thing to do to provide national security. All the reasons they give when you talk about all our efforts in the Middle East and Afghanistan, and this really irritates me. They said that we're doing this to keep us safe, and because they're going to be here, and they also say that it protects our Constitution. Yeah, with the Patriot Act and all this other stuff and the bankruptcy and everything they do. But it's always dealt in terms, and the propagandists are very, very powerful, just like they're powerful in this epidemic that we have. And they can change opinions, and people do shift their gears, and they have natural instincts. Because just think of that they used to talk about the Vietnam syndrome, that, we walked away and all that. Killing and all that uselessness over there. And in a way, when Bush finally went into the Middle East, they say, well, we finally got rid of that Vietnam syndrome of not wanting to be involved. But I see it, the big picture is that we are an empire and we have been able to maintain it. We've had tremendous financial and economic and military power by fall since World War II. But right now, that is shrinking and it's dwindling until I think the big deal on this week was the evidence once again that, yes, we got knocked down a few pegs after Vietnam. We lost our first war. And this one was some more humiliation. So it's a mixed blessing because one should be a lesson to us. We don't need to be policing the world. All great nations have finally failed when they go off restraint on monetary funding, you know, and have no sound money, and also expanding themselves too much overseas. And that the Soviet system collapsed. I was in the military during the Cold War and missiles in Cuba, and I thought for sure we were going to have a nuclear exchange, and here it is. It just melted away. The Soviet system was done because they bankrupted themselves. And where did they do it? In Afghanistan. Such irony. It's just amazing.
Well, okay. Well, so supporters of the war in Afghanistan would argue that that the purpose of being there was to contain terrorism. And in fact, there has been no major terrorist attack on American soil, at least on the same scale as 9/11, following 9/11. And so now these same people are arguing that a withdrawal, a U.S. withdrawal of Afghanistan could open the void to more terrorist activity and open America up to potentially another attack. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the going into Afghanistan to take care of terrorism and stop the terrorists, that was just an excuse. They used 9/11 to us invade Afghanistan, and the government and the people of Afghanistan did not come and do it. It was Saudi Arabia more so than anybody else. Now, if you want to worry about terrorism, after all this money and bombing and killing, the motivation for the radical Islamists came originally from Eisenhower in 1953 when we were participating in a coup to get rid of Mossadegh. And they remembered that all the way up into 1979. In our last 20 years is a motivation for the terrorists to be very angry at us because how many people did we kill? How many times did they come here? And characteristically, the Taliban are not people who are likely to come here. That's more the Taliban. They're radicals, but they're not over. They're not in Afghanistan. That was an excuse to go. But I think we're worse off now after 20 years of involvement in Afghanistan with the Afghanis wanting to do something to us. Because how would the American people react if we had been occupied by a foreign government for 20 years? And then we finally have a pseudo victory and they move out, there'd be a lot of bitterness. So we help motivate, those individuals who get pretty disgusted with us.
So bottom line then, Dr. Paul, do you think that America is less safe after the withdrawal this week?
Well, it depends on from what. We're less safe from our own government tearing up our constitution.
From Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, from terrorism specifically.
I think we're, I wouldn't say less safe. I think there's great potential, but I wouldn't put it that way. But the entire system that I worry more about, what's happening here to our government does to us. And I worry about interventionism that's going to get us someplace else. I mean, we haven't walked out of Syria and we haven't walked out of so many countries. We're in about 150 countries. We still have potential problems. And believe me, I saw something yesterday. This is money. This is the monetary thing that we have been able to secure the gold that has been accumulated in Afghanistan, and we kept it from the Taliban. So right. we're going to be involved for a long time. Someday they're going to have a pipeline go through Afghanistan. But I think we've gone at it in exactly the wrong way. Very, very costly and very, very dangerous. And yes, I think there's still the danger of people wanting to use terrorism, but not quite the way people worry about it. I don't think there's going to be a 9/11 next week. Yes. I don't think punishing the American people will prevent the terrorists from coming. If they come, it's not because we didn't have enough infringement on our liberties, such as what has occurred with the Patriot Act and what has occurred now with this war against the virus. I think that's the stuff that we should be worried about, because right. we're rolling over. The American people are rolling over, and they do whatever they say. Vaccinate me. Give me a vaccine passport and wear a mask and do all these kind of things. They never talk about liberty and freedom and letting people take care of themselves and emphasizing free markets and sound money. It's the absence of that is what we really should be worried about.
I want to touch on one more point before we move on to foreign policy with China now. Many critics online have speculated or have commented that the Americans have a moral obligation to protect the people of Afghanistan. You've no doubt seen images of people trying to flee the airport at Kabul. And President Biden has justified his withdrawal by saying that, no, the Americans do not have this obligation. Let's take a listen to his statement here.
Here's what I believe. To my core, it is wrong to order American troops to step up when Afghanistan's own armed forces would not. If the political leaders of Afghanistan were unable to come together for the good of their people, unable to negotiate for the future of their country when the chips were down, they would never have done so while U.S. troops remained in Afghanistan, bearing the brunt of the fighting for them. And our true strategic competitors, China and Russia, would love nothing more than the United States to continue to funnel billions of dollars in resources and attention into stabilizing Afghanistan indefinitely.
Is he right, Dr. Paul? Should we be there, or should we not be there? Or do we have the obligation to protect civilian lives in Afghanistan?
Well, you know, the one part where you have to talk about it a little bit, basically, a libertarian wouldn't be there. We wouldn't be there. We'd be out of there, and we wouldn't cause all this tragedy. But what happens when somebody else does it? What if you put the libertarian in charge now? What do you do? And there's, you know, our troops are being there, and right now the Taliban sounds like the best thing they would like is, why don't all you guys go away? We're tired of you. Just leave, and we'll let you leave. I hope that would be true. But they will do that. I think that the Taliban, you know, is going to be able to do that. But I don't know, you know, the obligation we have. The difficulty is, what about the people that we have, American citizens there? We have people, some Afghanis actually, you know, out of serious effort, joined with the Americans. But that does not give you a just cause to continue to do bad policy. Two wrongs won't make a right. So, no, it's time for us to leave. It's difficult. We created the mess. I think a lot of what Biden was saying there was blaming, you know, them, you know, why this failed. Well, we created it by being there. And then Trump had a better plan on coming out of there, which was turned down. And then Biden comes in and he has a plan. And he justifies it in moral terms. The American people are tired of this, and that sounded good. But believe me, he uses that as an excuse, because it's just something that it has to sound good, but it's not going to work. We need to get out of there, and that's a simple. But overall, we're dealing with tactical things here, and the tactical things are that are more difficult. Strategically, it's easy, just stay away. But the whole thing is what kind of moral obligation we have, you know. And I have to say I have some empathy for that, for enticing those people. But it's not a justification to violate the property rights of all American citizens to bring 20,000 Afghanis in here and say, well, you're going to take care of them. You're going to pay for this. We do have a few extra people coming in across the southern border, but we're going to have more and more come in, and there's no money in the bank. So that is I think in a free society, there'd be the problems like that, and a moral, generous nation would try to help. But it has to be voluntary. People, relatives and friends and neighbors and volunteer organizations could bring people in. But just to load on a plane and send in tens of thousands of people, which will probably happen, and when that's a violation of our liberties, our property rights, it'll be costing money. So that is not a justification. But I have to admit, I sure understand why our policies have enticed a lot of people to participate. We did that after Vietnam, a place we shouldn't have been in. But we said, well, we messed up. Let's take anybody who is friendly to us and we'll take care of you. One crime leads to another crime, which is the real problem.
Finally, I want to touch on foreign policy. This is an article from the Chinese state newspaper Global Times. Headline is, China respects Afghans' choice, expects Taliban to keep its word of establishing inclusive government. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. China hopes that the Taliban can implement its previous commitments and ensure a smooth transition of power in Afghanistan, says spokesperson of the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. This is a turn of attitudes from the Chinese government, a body of politicians who previously did not even recognize the Taliban as a legitimate governing body. But now it seems like they are welcoming the idea of somewhat friendly relationships. Where do you see, where do you see this headed?
You can't read into the minds of these people what their motives are, but you know, I sense there was a difference in tone. I sure hope it's true, because the Taliban was sending messages out that they were acting differently, and the Chinese may be reacting to that. But that just seems like that's their dealing. Why not? You know, one thing I argued, which was a much closer to home argument, was Cuba. I've always argued that, you know, why do we still have sanctions on the Cubans, the people, you know? And because I do believe, as a free market person, as a person, that trade and travel and friendships, the more the better. So if they just offer a little bit, you should go to it and trade with people. China's more dependent on trade around the world than ever before. I think that's good. What about a difference? I was in high school when my teachers were being drafted to go over there and die in Korea. What a big difference there is now.
Would it not concern you, Dr. Paul, that a competitor to the United States is showing friendly attitudes towards a former adversary of the U.S.
I don't think it's any of our business. You know, why should the Chinese have a right to talk to the Afghanis? And we took control of them for 20 years. So what right do we have? We don't have a moral right or a constitutional right. But what practical right do we have? We had our chance using the iron fist and authority that we will make them good Democrats. And they're going to act like Americans, and we're going to get rid of your silliness and your religion. That didn't work. So people ought to figure out, if the Chinese want to deal with that, that's up to them. If they want to trade with us, we should trade with them. If the Chinese want to trade with us, we've been trading, but we're putting sanctions on them all the time. We're always interfering, voluntarism. People, there aren't that many rules to follow to have peace in the world. One is and no violence. You can't commit and initiate violence, which a lot of people believe in and some people don't. And the other thing is, everything that we do, interact with anybody or everybody, should be voluntary. You know, and whether it's social, whether it's educational, whatever, religious, everything has to be voluntary. And all of a sudden, you know, well, if everybody, and the one other thing about voluntarism is that you can run your life as you please, and you can keep what you earn. And I found when I lectured to college kids, they sort of liked that idea of being left alone. I know the college kids get a bum rap, but they understood this. They understood they wanted their individual freedom. Sometimes they want more than just their freedom. But I tell you, I think that brings people together. It should bring, if you have a true presentation for liberty, people should come together, especially in our country. It works in religion. You know, most Americans tolerate and understand that they don't go around, fighting with other religious groups. And And that's the way it should be on economics and money. Everybody gets to make up their own mind, whether it's social, sexual, or whatever, or religious. It should be voluntary. Why is that so complicated? You know, because there's a few people that get to the top by lying and stealing and cheating and using force, and they are a minority, but they get control. They get control of the monetary system, and they also get control of the media. And look at what's happening in this country today. The media for years have been known to be under special control. And now we have the social media. They're partners with our government. They're doing the dirty work. They're enforcing the vaccine passport and under the name of, well, we're a free enterprise system. At the same time, a big corporation just the other day, one in the social media, got a $10 billion contract from the government, and they don't pay taxes. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that we have to deal with. And in a libertarian society, obviously, that you couldn't do it that way.
All right. Well, Dr. Paul, I appreciate your insights today. Thank you very much for sharing them with us today. Thank you.
David, nice to be with you.
And thank you for watching Kitco News. I'm David Lin. Stay tuned for more news, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow me on Twitter at @DavidLin_TV. Where are we right now in the commodity cycle?